If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. We continue to look at the beginnings, reminding ourselves from where we came and who has made us and what image He has made us, male and female He has made us. He has made us to serve Him and to have fellowship with Him. He has made us to be stewards of that which He has made. He originally made us holy. But that is not so now, save through the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving work in us, making the gospel and the light of the fall of most importance, significant spiritually. I hear a lot of conversation about principles and things that people believe. But you know, one of the things I'm not hearing a lot of in the secular culture, the spiritual condition of things. Just don't hear a lot of conversation about us falling short of the glory of God. And maybe some of this is not right. Could it be? Is that possible? You don't hear many people saying that, do you? Not many. But from the Word of God, it is good that we go back and last week we looked at the effects of the fall and continuing in that. Thank God for His word and the three pronouncements to the serpent and to Eve and to Adam. Yes, there were consequences for sin, but isn't it filled with the grace of God? Man. And so those who say that grace is not there really haven't looked at it very carefully. Because in it, even in those pronouncements, God promises deliverance. It's amazing. And as I've thought about the seriousness of the fall, I want us to look at our own day, that those things that are pronounced there in Genesis still affect us today and have a direct spiritual relationship. That is, spiritually, there is a reality at work, whether the world wants to admit it or not. There is one behind evil whom we know. We are not ignorant of His schemes. We know that fallen human nature is susceptible to follow those things that are not right and not good. But by equal presentation, we know that the gospel, where would we be without the gospel and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in our life? Where would we be if we were left to our own devices, to our own schemes, and to our own desires? And I want Christians to begin to think about that, and we're going to move forward. And this morning, we're going to talk about the way of Cain, or another way of putting it, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Here then, this passage in Genesis, right on the heels of the fall, there comes the first child born into this world. And so hear then the word of the Lord, and may He lead us in understanding these things. Hear then the word of the Lord, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have begotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, He had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will not you be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it or must master it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." The Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. May God then add His blessing to the reading of His holy and precious Word of God. We all desire our children to do well. I know that that's a great aspiration, isn't it? And if you have children and grandchildren, you know that rooted in your heart is a desire for their best. You want them to do well. You want them to excel. And what I would have you to see this morning as we begin to speak about the life of Cain and Abel is that a serious spiritual monkey wrench has been thrown into the mix of all of that. And I want you to see that where this comes from is immediately following Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden because of their sin. And we always say we hope better for the next generation, don't we? Don't we hope better for the next generation? I hope that that's your heart and your prayer. And yet, when the first child is born, Cain comes into this world, and here comes Cain. And he is one called Cain because he was the first child born. And I think Eve had great hopes in her heart with regard for the birth of this child. Why do you think that maybe Eve had great hopes for this child? Because of what the Lord had pronounced, even in the light of the fall, that what? That was a promise through her seed that what? A deliverer would come. Do you know that that's actually a part of Cain's name? The language there, I have begotten a man with the help of the Lord, is not, I have begotten a child, deliverer. Isn't that interesting? The hope for this child was that Cain would be that child that the Lord promised that would bring deliverance from the effects of the fall. Pretty amazing that Eve had that expectation. She fully anticipated that the Lord was answering prayer in that child being the one that the Lord had promised to rectify the fall. Now, the disappointing thing is going to be that in reality, Cain is not going to be a deliverer, but he's going to be what? He's going to be a killer. He's going to be a murderer. The first child born because of sin, a murderer. It goes right to the original steps of our existence, murder. I like what one person said, that when sin came upon us and if we committed one sin, James says what? If we commit one sin, we've done what? We've committed them all. And that's the fruit that Eve has to bear when she realizes, after events unfold with the other brother that is born following Abel, that there is contention. And that contention has more to do with Cain than it does Abel. Matter of fact, you don't hear a lot said about Abel, do you? You really don't hear a lot being said. Abel, he tends his cattle. He raises them. He worships God. He offers the fat portions and the shedding of blood. And his offering is acceptable to God. And he's gone about his way doing his business and doing what he's supposed to. But when Cain comes along, there are other things that Cain has on his mind and his heart. He's very proud of what he does. He's a tiller of the ground. And I would probably say that that which he produced, even in light of the fall, probably was pretty incredible. It was probably something that he could boast about, and probably something that he wanted to present to God of his own making, to show God, look what I've done. But when we come to God to worship, it's not about what we've done, is it? It's about, worship is about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Cain in sin just did not comprehend it of how God was to be approached. And I don't think, not a lot again is said about it, but I don't think that this disposition of when God was approached, how he was to be approached and how sacrifice was able to be, was necessary to be made because of blood. You see, that was from the beginning. After the fall and that promise of a deliverer that was coming, that very statement about to Satan, that the woman's seed, you shall bruise him on the heel. There's going to be a price to pay, but he shall crush your head. That is, sin would be once and for all finally dealt with. And what is the first thing that happens? It's very interesting that God kills the animals and makes for them clothes, and blood is shed. Isn't that it? Blood is required. Innocent blood is required. And the very foundation of his responsibility to be a steward over the creation, what God had made, his sin affected even the life of the animals. Romans says what? The whole of creation, what? Groans in travail until the present time, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. His creation has been affected as well, but that blood was shed, innocent blood, the animals, so that they could have clothes. Because of the blindness of sin, Cain was not willing to accept that. You see the pride of sin? As Cain does his work, look what I've done in spite of the fall. Look at this, God. When he approaches God, the Scriptures say that Cain brings the fruit of the field. And Abel comes and presents his sacrifice and the fatted portions and the shedding of blood. You see, the reason that Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable was not because it wasn't nice. It was probably more beautiful than you could ever think. And it's not wrong for us to present other things to God. But when we come to Him in worship, we come in the light of the blood of Christ. I think it's a good thing when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl present extra and say, God, I come to worship You in the name and the shed blood of Christ, but Lord, this is what You've given me extra, and this is what I want to do with that to Your honor and Your glory. It becomes a serious thing because remember Ananias and Sapphira? They come before God and they make a boast of what they're going to give to God, and they hold back a portion and God strikes them dead. That's a serious passage, isn't it? About approaching God and promising God certain things and worshiping Him in a prescribed way. Alex is teaching us about worship. Very important subject. And much of the reality of it's been lost today, as I'm sure he's discovered. And so we need to be serious about that worship, and it affects even this situation with Cain and Abel. And Cain becomes angry. I don't know how the demonstration was as to how that offering was accepted or not accepted. I don't know how that demonstration was, but in reality, the conclusion was that there was an awareness, there was a reality that Abel's offering was accepted because of the blood sacrifice as was prescribed by God. I think God had taught them very well as to how he was to be approached from that point. It doesn't say a lot about that, but I think in light of all of Scripture, it shows that it's real. And Abel just chose not to do that. And thus, you see, again, the results of sin. Cain became angry at who? At his brother. It's funny how our failures in life we take out on other people. Yikes. That when we don't do right, we don't approach God right, how we sometimes want to take it out on other people. Symptom of the fall, isn't it? By the way, these are all symptoms. The remedy is the blood of Christ. Amen? About the truth of the gospel? That's how serious a business we're dealing with. Man's sin has symptom after symptom after symptom after symptom, but no answer. God gives the answer through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven and earth whereby a man may be saved other than the name of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. How critical is the gospel and how critical is the church that we remain who we are and proclaim the gospel that we have been given in the Great Commission by our Lord Himself. Do not take lightly the blood or the gospel of Jesus Christ in these days. What I love at this point, and it's amazing here, that the closeness that God still has to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, I'm sure the Lord could have said, well, okay, I just won't accept your offering, that's it. But do you notice the kind thing that takes place here of God's grace? The Lord comes to Cain and reasons with him. Cain, do you see the grace of God in it? Cain, what's wrong? You know what we've said about offering to the living God and the blood? Listen, I think your offering is a wonderful thing of God's grace in your life. But why is your countenance down? Why are you downcast? Why are you upset about all this? And it's very interesting. The Lord is talking to who? The Lord is talking to Cain. Personally. Personally. And it's pretty amazing. The Lord said to Cain in verse 6, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" And I think that's a reference to if he had listened to what God said about approaching him and how he should be approached in worship and with regard to what God was looking for in them, he would have understood why his offering was not accepted. But somehow his heart was blocked from that. It was more important about what he had done. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why is your face fallen?" It has to do with this countenance. Have you ever seen a person who was angry in their face? Their face showed what they were really thinking. And that's what's happened to Cain. He's become malicious and his face shows it. And that's another effect of the fall, by the way. Our faces can't hide what's in our heart. Isn't that true? Oh, man. Man, how many times, Lord? The seriousness of the fall. "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" the Lord says to him. "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it or master it." You know what the Lord is saying? Cain, listen, sin is real. And the direction that you are taking is dangerous spiritually. The way in which you are approaching life, seeking to separate yourself from God and do it your way, is dangerous. Listen, sin, he even tells Cain what the issue is. Sin is crouching at your door and its desire is to master you. Isn't that one of the effects of sin? In Christ, sin no longer is our master. Isn't that a glorious thing? In Christ our Lord, He has granted us all the means of grace whereby we can deal with sin and approach our Lord properly, and we can worship Him, and we have the means of grace and His help whereby sin will not master us, but He will grant us grace to deal with the issues of sin. Cain, sin is crouching at your door. You must not let it rule over you, but you must rule over it. Yeah, you must master it. There can be only one master in our life, which we learn from Cain and Abel. And what the Lord is actually saying to Cain, "Cain, sin is affecting your life in such a way, and I hope you see it, that its desire is to consume you and to take you over and for it to be your master." And of course, we heard the language, living for the devil. That kind of way. Someone says, you give the devil an inch and he'll do what? If you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile, because that's what he's looking for. As sinful people, the inclination is the rule of evil and of sin to be the predominant feature of our life in the fall. Cain, who is going to be your master? Me or sin? And isn't that the question today? Isn't it real? Who is our master today? Is it the Lord? Do we hear the Lord reasoning with Cain? Cain, listen, this is the situation. Whose master are you going to serve? And Cain, I just love that appeal of the Lord to Cain. He just didn't let Cain go. He showed grace and kindness. There is common grace, isn't there? But what I want you to see is not only the magnificence of God's grace, even in Cain's life, but I want you to see the seriousness of the conversation between him, Cain, and the Lord. Now, you would have thought with the living God, there would have been some sense of response to that. Yes, Lord, you're right. Boy, what was I thinking? Turning to the Lord and seeking the Lord. Just think, the Lord was there. The Lord was right there appealing to him. Cain rejected it. That's the issue. Cain rejected even the grace of the Lord to come to him and reason with him about his sin and how he's to be worshipped. And it follows on the heel of this. And it follows directly from verse 8 to verse 9 after this encounter. And it shows, you're almost shocked by it as you come to verse 9. And it says in verse 8 and 9, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Oh, look what I've done, Lord. Oh, that's not good enough for you, huh? All right. You see the sin of anger? Cain follows this pattern that what is provoked in his heart when God does not accept the way he wants to go, he becomes angry. And God knows it. And he acts upon it. Do not be mistaken that you do not let the sun go down on your anger. Anger can have a devastating spiritual consequence if you act on it. Amen? Have you seen most of the homicides that take place? Most of them are what? A reaction in anger. Most of them, by the way, are domestic. The way of Cain is still alive and well in our culture and in our world. Cain says to his brother, let's go to the field. When he gets to his familiar territory in the field, he rises up in anger and kills his brother. The first murder. Isn't that interesting that that's almost the first thing that you see predominantly after the fall? How disappointed Eve must have been. How broken her heart must have been. Have your heart ever been broken over children? Yep, me too. And in the situation, we find that immediately on his death, then the Lord, verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And Cain said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Boy, that was a very arrogant malicious and deceptive. Have you ever met a deceptive person? A malicious, deceptive person who wants to get their way? Cain has the audacity in sin to lie in the very face of the Lord. At least Adam and Eve did not lie to the Lord when He confronted them with regard to their sin. They told the Lord the truth. Cain did not. He really believed that his sin was hidden from God. Cain, where's your brother? I don't know. I can almost hear the tone, can't you? In anger. I don't know. Who do you think I am? I'm my brother's keeper? What's going on here? Do I keep up with him? I don't keep up with him. Do you see the effect of the fall? And listen, it's been going on ever since in its maliciousness. Cain, in his sin, was willingly to deliberately lie in the face of God. And I want you to know that this death of Abel, think about, in one sense, Eve is going to lose both sons. Not really Abel, but I mean in the immediate historic context. Eve is going to have the grief that her first two children, Cain, rises up instead of being a deliverer in the great hope that she had for him, that he is the one that kills Abel, her second son. Wow. What grief to bear in sin. Do you see it in Genesis? Do you see it? And then, of course, the full fruit of the sin. This was not just manslaughter. This was not just second degree murder. This was premeditated first degree murder of his brother. Tell me that sin does not have its depths in man's heart, and that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We better hope so in our own life. Am I my brother's keeper? And I want to cry that out today. Am I my brother's keeper? And Cain says it with such disdain and distance and broken relationship of not caring about those around him, even the Lord God Himself who stands before him and declares that he's not responsible and that he really doesn't care. There are three times in which in the New Testament, Cain is mentioned, and each time it's mentioned with regard to the way of Cain. Given the direction that he takes in life, of the fact that he has become a murderer, and God judges him for that and casts him away. And the interest in the description, and Cain was cast away. Did you listen to Cain was cast away from the presence of the Lord. Boy, look at that language. It doesn't matter that simply God held him responsible. And Cain was, the judgment was pronounced, and Cain was a wanderer and a sojourner upon the earth. And he was dismissed from the presence of the Lord. I hear the words of Jesus on the cross, sometimes they know not what they do. I read a little story. I'm tired of reading the stories these days. The dear lady was 83 years old. She was an invalid. She was on oxygen. She had her support. And five teenagers attacked her. Took her cane away from her, her oxygen away from her. Stabbed her and killed her. And left her for dead. The only way she survived was that she had water and a little oxygenator. And she took the water and tried to keep alive. She eventually died in the hospital. 83 years old. And the murder took place senselessly because we were out to accomplish a principle. We were out to make a statement. Well, let me ask, what statement were you trying to make? That you're the way of Cain? A statement of the fact that the fall is real? What statement were you trying to make when you murder your neighbor and you don't show concern and love for those around you? I tell you that sin is real. And the way of Cain is still very much alive in the lives of people today. But the reason the way of Cain is still alive because people will not accept responsibility for what they do. Second of all, as sin is very real in people's lives, they have chosen the way of murder ultimately through the whole spiritual perspective. And the point of the way of the Cain is that Cain deliberately rejected the mercy and the grace of God as given to him and offered to him in Christ. He rejected God's mercy and His offers of forgiveness and help and support. My dear friends, if your heart's been touched by Christ in your lifetime, be thankful. Amen? If Christ has touched your heart and saved you, be thankful from what you have been spared. You have been spared from the life of Cain. Has He not taught you, O man, what to desire, to love mercy and justice, to walk humbly with your God? Amen? Ought we not to be thankful and rejoice today together in God's presence? That as weak as we are, the people that we are, as human as we are, that God accepts our worship this morning because we love His Son who shed His blood for us. Never take that for granted. That you are accepted by a God of grace who has loved you and given His very life for you that you might live and be forgiven and not have to walk the way of Cain. Amen? Amen. May God have mercy upon us. Let's pray together. Lord, this is the day that You've made. And we do rejoice and are glad in it. Lord, how good to be in Your presence, to know Your love and Your grace. Lord, forgive us for wayward hearts, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. Lord, give us hearts to be able to accept Your grace and Your mercy upon us in Your Son. All that is needed is with God's help to turn to Him and accept His Son by faith and repentance. To love Him from the heart and His promise that he who believes in Me will not ever be disappointed. Praise be to God who loved us and gave Himself for us and became sin for us and died upon Calvary's cross as the innocent sacrifice, the shedding of blood that was necessary for us to be saved. Lord, we are grateful as never before what You've done for us in Jesus' name.